Rajajanaranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachai Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunda Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Tai Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text 31. Chapter is entitled King Pururava, enchanted by Uvashi. Actually, it's text 38. Not 31. It's supposed to be text 38. Yeah, that's what's written. Okay. Vidya yalika vishrambam agneshu tyakta sohridha Navam Navam Abhipshantya Pumshchayam Sarya Vritaya Vidhaya Lika Vishambham Agneshu Takta Sorida Navam Navam Abhipshantya Pumsat Pumschalya Svaravritaya Vidhayalika Vishrambham Agneshu Takta Sorida Navam Navam Abhipshantya Pumschalya Svaravritaya. Please chant. Anybody chant the verse? Sanskrit. Dayatida Vishambham Agneshu Takta Sorida Navam Navam Abhipshantya Pumschaya Svaravritaya Vidhaya Lika Vishrambham Agnesu Takta Sorida Navam Navam Abhishantya Pumschaya Svaravritaya. Sudhyaya talika vishambham Nesu takta sorda Navam navam abhipshantya Pamchaya saravritaya Vithaya lika vishambham Agnesu takta sorda Navam navam abhipantya Vidhaya, by establishing, alika, false, vishambham, faithfulness, agnesu, unto the foolish men, taktasorida, who have given up the company of well-wishers, navam, new, Navam nu abhipshantyaha desiring pumschayaha women very easily allured by other men svara independently vritayaha professional. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Women are very easily seduced by men. Therefore, polluted women give up the friendship of a man who is their well-wisher and establish false friendship among fools. Indeed, they seek newer and newer friends, one after another. Purport. Because women are easily seduced, the Manu Samhita enjoins that they should not be given freedom. A woman must always be protected by either by her father or by her husband or by her elderly son. If women are given freedom to mingle with men like equals, which they now claim to be, they cannot keep their propriety. The nature of a woman, as personally described by Urvashi, is to establish false friendship with someone and then seek new male companions, one after another, even if this means giving up the company of a sincere well-wisher. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamine Dinamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashyata Deshatayane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasai Gauravati Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Panchakopatrubhista Kripasanya Veva Patitanam Pavneva Vaishnaveva Namo Namo. So, we're hearing in this verse the nature of a woman in the material world. So, the material world is described as in the Bhagavad Gita purport by Srila Prabhupada as being the shackles of sex life. So this is ultimately what binds us to the material world, is the happiness of this little bit of happiness that comes from joining with men and women. And it's specifically in this verse, it's describing the materialistic women, the nature of a materialistic woman, which is pretty heavy, especially probably for women devotees. So I don't feel so qualified to speak on it, but I'll do my best to be respectful and speak about it with a mature mindset. I don't want to be disrespectful in any way. So this is describing specifically the nature of materialistic women. And it's described here that they establish false friendship with someone and then seek new male companions one after another, even if this means giving up the company of sincere well-wishers. So this is a pretty serious verse to speak about. But I wanted to speak more. I don't want to get so much into speaking specifically about women, but more so about the problem of lust. So it's described here that women are supposed to be protected. So there's a false conception of, like, that comes from hearing these types of verses, that women are basically evil, and that as devotees we should renounce the association of women completely, altogether, and basically become almost, it tends to, in an immature devotee, it tends to lead to hard-heartedness, and this tendency to treat women with disrespect. This comes from an immature understanding of these verses. And we have experienced in our movement, in the beginning of this, our movement, very bad reactions to a misunderstanding of these verses. We're still actually, in America especially, experiencing the results of the misconception of these verses. Because people had an immature, devotees had an immature understanding of these verses, there was a lack of caring and protection given to the women and children. So this is kind of controversial. I don't want to get too much into the details of it, but we can understand the principle that it's important to be mature and not to go on the other end of treating women with disrespect, especially Vaishnava women, Vaishnavis. So the immature understanding is to become hard-hearted and say all women are evil from a man's standpoint. The mature aspect is that we have to actually control our senses as men and women and become mature devotees. And some men have to take up the service of being a controlled husband for our society to flourish, for the society of devotees. So in this way we can actually fulfill the mission. When Krishna consciousness was first spreading in America and the West, it was mostly spread, especially in the very beginning, by grihastha couples. So Bhaktisiddhanta sent, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati sent sannyasis to England, and they only made the one devotee, and then Srila Prabhupada sent three grihastha devotees, couples, to England, and it exploded and they became famous all over the world. They made, you know, how many countless of devotees are even still coming to Krishna consciousness because of their service. This is the proper understanding of how we can take this verse that some men devotees have to take this service in the sense that we have to show the world how to live. A devotee was here speaking on this topic, Sri Guru Mataji, that grihasthas are very relatable to the common people, whereas brahmacharis, sannyasis, they're not as relatable. This is a mature understanding, and this is how Srila Prabhupada acted as well. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, it speaks about how merely by renunciation alone, one can't attain perfection. And Srila Rupa Goswami speaks about the principle of yukta vairagya. Engaging everything in the service of Krishna. So I'm studying the Sri Ishopanishad, and this verse, the first verse of the Ishopanishad, is extremely relevant for developing this proper, mature understanding of verses like this. The Sanskrit is Ishavasyam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatam jagat tena taktena bunjita ma gridha kasya svidhanam. Everything animate or inanimate that is within the universe is controlled and owned by the Lord. One should therefore accept only those things for himself which are set aside as his quota, and one should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So we're in the material energy, and so it says not merely by renunciation of material energy, or trying the effort to renounce, can one attain freedom from the material energy. So actually the principle of the Bhagavad Gita and the principle of the Ishopanishad is to learn how to use Krishna's energy properly. Not to renounce Krishna's energy, but learning how to use it properly. And this frees us from the reactions of karma. So when we learn how to use Krishna's energy in the service of Krishna, using the energy within the source, the service of the source of the energy, that is how we gain freedom from the bondage of karma. So not merely by the renunciation. Renunciation is the process of jnana yoga, where we try to seclude ourselves from and go into seclusion in caves and study the philosophy deeply and go into meditation. And this is kind of this is Ashtanga yoga, where we try to enter into samadhi and trance. But bhakti is different. We're not trying to give up. We're not trying to renounce. We're trying to utilize everything in the service of the source of everything. And it's said that the pursuit of renunciation also is a sense of subtle sense gratification, whereas there's four types of people described: the karmis, jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas. So the karmis are trying to enjoy just gross material sense gratification. The jnanis are renouncing, but they're enjoying subtle sense gratification. They're doing it generally for adoration, respect, fame. So you can't really get away from the contamination of our consciousness just by trying to renounce or trying to give up the association. we have to purify our consciousness by the bhakti process, and engage everything. So this is why it's so powerful for men and women together to be spreading Krishna consciousness. We work together and we utilize what we have, the specific body, the specific identity that we have, and we gain strength from each other with maturity, and we show the people how to actually live properly. Otherwise they have no reference and they don't know how to engage in Krishna consciousness. It's said in the Bhagavad Gita that we shouldn't induce them to stop working, but we should induce them in all sorts of activities so they purify themselves. This is done especially well by men and women who are working together. Srila Prabhupada really established that within our movement in America especially, and it worked really well for spreading Krishna consciousness. So this is kind of the essence of whatever position we're in, whether we're working or brahmacharis or women, but we should always be striving to serve the preaching mission. We should utilize whatever we have, whatever we're given, for the service of Krishna. So whatever free time we get, whatever funds we get from our job, or as brahmacharis, whatever we're doing it for the preaching mission. And this is a way to learn. We have to learn how to utilize, as I was saying, the Ishavasya principle, everything, and see everything in relation to Krishna. So this is the teaching of the Ishopanishad. It said that in the 6th and 7th verse of the Ishopanishad, it speaks about this seeing everything in relation to the Lord. He who systematically sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. So we see, never hates anything or any being. So this hard-heartedness that comes from a shallow understanding of these verses speaking about women develops this hatred that we've seen. It's actually the flip side of attachment is aversion. So the people have acted cruel in the past, even within our movement to women. So they're not seeing that everything is in relation to the Supreme Lord. All living entities are his parts and parcels. And so this is the Krishna consciousness. This is the Ishavasya principle, seeing Krishna everywhere. And it should be treated properly, and not with disrespect. And the next verse is 7. It says, one who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So when we develop more of this consciousness of the Supreme being everywhere within everyone, and we learn how to utilize the energy of Krishna properly, we learn how to treat everyone properly, then there's no anxiety. But if we have an immature understanding of renunciation, there's always anxiety. We're always trying to stay away. We're always trying to hide ourselves. We have to protect our renunciation. It's more proper that that works to some degree. You can keep yourself away. But of the two, it's better to engage everything, karma. So renunciation is also good, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, but it says that karma yoga is better. It's faster and it's more natural because we can't abstain from activity. You can also make some advancement with this renunciation. But generally, an immature understanding of the renunciation can cause a lot of difficulties, as I've spoken about. And the process in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita is to rather engage everything in the service of Krishna based on the instructions, based on the preaching mission especially. That's really the essence of all instructions of Srila Prabhupada. Preaching is the essence. So that's how I make sense of a lot of things, is how can I engage whatever I have in this, in preaching. All the desires that I have, I want to go here, I want to go there, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to sing, I want to dance. Everything can be used to spread Krishna consciousness. I want to have children. This can be used in the preaching mission. Prabhupada says we should have many children. We should have, you know, such a flourishing culture, devotional culture. And this is what can change the world. If we have a strong culture of people living happily together, not just a few here, a few there, hiding out, you know, but like a strong community culture of Vaishnavas who are extremely happy serving together, that can change the world. We have to start within our community, work with what we have. An immature understanding of these verses can cause some difficulty within that mood. So I find this to be extremely essential in going forward in spreading Krishna consciousness to the people. If we're going to have a big impact on the world, we have to learn how to establish this culture based on this principle of Ishavasyam, utilizing everything in the service of Krishna. Another verse in the Ishopanishad, the 11th verse, it describes that this principle more thoroughly, that only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death and enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So, basically, Prabhupada describes that we can't give up the maintenance of our bodies, our necessities of life. We need to be really well-balanced individuals and side-by-side cultivate this vidya, this knowledge. In that way, we can utilize everything, as I've been saying. Another way of putting it is real renunciation is renouncing the idea that we have anything to renounce in the first place. Dry renunciation, we see everything as the energy of Krishna. I find that to be nice way of looking at things. It kind of takes you back further than renunciation, is realizing like how everything is already Krishna's and it's not ours to renounce, and we have to utilize everything in service. So although all that is true, that we have to learn how to respect women and respect everyone, still the verse is saying this, that women are very easily seduced by men, and that they have this tendency. So this is a warning, for everyone to not give in to this lust. And this whole story is a representative representation of that, the lust of King Pururava is totally bewildered, and he's said that he's going all over the world like a madman because he lost his partner, Urvashi. And so this is really, it really is the complete illusion, is the relationship between men and women on the bodily platform, and it causes so much confusion, illusion, such a big waste of time. But like I was explaining, the answer isn't necessarily to just become hard-hearted and try to renounce everything and go to a secluded place, but the answer is to learn to see everything properly. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada says this takes training. So that's what the Brahmacharya Ashram is for, is to give strong training. So, and some may be able to maintain their renunciation and still be able to utilize everything properly with the service of the Lord. And some men will give, take the service of protecting and giving shelter to the women devotees. And that's also really needed, as I was saying, to have a healthy society of devotees. But we should always take the Srimad Bhagavatam very seriously, that this is a fact, and that this is the nature of women in the material world. Also men in the material world too are not, that we hear a lot about women specifically, but materialistic men also said we shouldn't associate with men who are attached to women. And so men, the materialistic men also are just as bad, if not worse, because we hear in society, in recent history, like in the last verse, it said that women don't have a problem with killing even their husband or brother. But oftentimes in the past, I hear more about men killing other people more so than women. So this is a warning for materialistic life in general, and the illusion that comes from the bodily attraction between men and women, and all the problems that ensue, and all the foolishness that comes from that. And the alternative, if we are attached, we are contaminated by these tendencies, is to use everything that we have, all our desires, and dovetail it with the Krishna, with the service of Krishna, service of Guru, and spreading Krishna consciousness. And this fulfills all desires, and it makes us very happy to spread Krishna consciousness. We get to go meet people, we can work together as teams, as friends, as partners, husband and wife, but all for the service of Krishna, all for spreading Krishna consciousness. And this way we can utilize whatever we have in the service of our spiritual masters and Krishna. That's the main point that I have to speak about. In essence, I don't have too much else to say. If anyone has any comments or questions or discussion, I'd be very grateful for some additional thoughts.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Tough verse there. No, I mean, pretty heavy verse. And I can imagine it'd be difficult to speak on a verse like this. But I think you did a very nice job. Very balanced perspective. But I had a question. I'm hearing what you're saying, and I'm trying to reflect in my own life and see, you know, how this, what you're speaking, applies in my own life. And something that I struggle with is the principle of renunciation. I also have a lot of misunderstandings and immature understandings, which is what you're saying. which is why I think a lot of what you said was resonating with me. But so being honest with our understanding of renunciation, where we're at, and then also you're receiving training and education in order to counteract the imbalance of the value or the principle. So I'm kind of curious as to your thoughts about being honest with where we're at in our renunciation or our desires, whatever, versus just going with that and just saying, oh, well, you know, I'm not very renounced, whatever, versus, well, I'm trying to learn renunciation. I'm trying to learn these things, but, you know, you're receiving education in order to counteract, and then you have sort of without training and education, a Krishna conscious training and education going out. So I'm wondering how, I think, sorry if my question's kind of unclear, this is a little unclear in my head, but I'm wondering what your thoughts about how an education is supposed to influence your behavior when you have an immature understanding, and which means you don't know how to properly apply it in your life.
Sorry. Well, it seems like you're implying that training is just like theoretical knowledge. Kind of, yeah, it can be. So in my opinion, it's just my opinion that I see a lot of devotees who come to Krishna consciousness and try to join the Brahmacharya ashram, and this creates a lot of difficulty for them in their mental state, where they're actually at. And it becomes highly theoretical, and a lot of people just go mental, and because they're not acting so much in the material world anymore. They're completely engaged in spiritual activities, but they have all these things going on within themselves. So, in general, I'm leaning towards, in the future of my service, not really encouraging people to join the ashram unless they're extremely serious about it and they're well prepared and they know what they're getting themselves into. And then in turn they can develop gradually and naturally for where they're at outside. It's a key principle. The beginning of Bhagavad Gita is not disturbing the minds of people, not inducing them to stop acting in the world. This is important for the well-being of the people that we're preaching to, because we see a lot of people come and go. So we need to reevaluate how we're bringing people to Krishna consciousness. And if someone doesn't, especially coming from me, I have a misunderstanding of what it means to preach and to spread Krishna consciousness. It's like if someone doesn't come join the ashram, then they're like, you know, a waste of time, you know, go to the next guy who's having an existential crisis and he can, you know, he doesn't have anything going on in his life, so he can join our ashram. But rather, we have to find systematic ways of engaging people in Krishna consciousness where they're at, so they can stay healthy mentally, so they don't get all these misconceptions of renunciation in the beginning. And then people who can grow like that, then they'll be more likely to maintain Krishna consciousness for their whole lifetime and not just come and join for some time and then have all these problems and then leave. So this is my understanding going into the future of reevaluating how we're preaching Krishna consciousness. In general, that's kind of was the mood in the early times of our movement, that we just asked people to give up everything and join the movement. I think we could do that if we had a really strong establishment of Varnashram in our movement. Like if we had engagement for people, like all sorts of things to keep their minds engaged properly, then we could ask people, and people would naturally leave what they're doing to engage in more of a Varnashram culture, and they can make spiritual advancement pretty naturally and well in that environment. But to ask people to join an ashram when we don't have such clear engagement for new people, it creates a lot of difficulty that I've observed. I don't really want to deal with that anymore, personally, dealing with new people who have all these misconceptions of renunciation, and all these mental issues that come from this. And it's a clear instruction in the Bhagavad Gita not to induce people to stop acting. But at the same time, we have to give them Krishna consciousness in a nice way. So I find that to be a service for the future, learning how to spread Krishna consciousness to a lot of people.
Thank you for your answer, Prabhu. Does anyone else have a question, or can I ask one more? That'd be okay. For devotees that are in Krishna consciousness already, I appreciate what you said about new people coming in. So, new person comes in with these misconceptions, they don't get addressed properly, so they're carrying them and they become a devotee full time, and so then that's still ingrained in them. And I'm speaking because that's what happened to me. And what I'm finding out in my own life is that one reason why I kind of keep up some, like a facade, like a, you know, like a masquerade of, you know, it just reminds me of like a Jai Baladev, who always talks about stuff like this, that, oh, I want to be a good devotee and I want to show people that I'm renounced and that I'm actually advanced, and even though none of this may actually be a reality, but in, you might try to keep it up for the sake of what, you know, whatever, false ego, however you want to philosophize it. So I'm wondering, do you have any advice for how to address these sort of things of balancing your renunciation, your spiritual practices in the face of comparing yourself to others, all these kind of things?
So the question is, if you are kind of maintaining this persona of renunciation, but it doesn't actually fit who you are, where you're at, do you have any recommendations of how to go about this? From my understanding, we have to take shelter of senior devotees, and we have to be honest with these devotees and reveal where we're actually at and ask for their advice and guidance in how to live our lives properly. If we can reveal our minds to our spiritual master and to the senior devotees guiding us, that's really mostly like the answer to all practical problems in our life. The thing is that we generally want to do things on our own and we don't want to take help from other people. So we think we can keep pushing forward on our own. But if we reveal our minds to senior devotees, it really is powerful. It's a aspect of the nectar of instruction, revealing our minds in confidence. I find this to be basically the essence of solving all problems in devotional life. Because senior devotees, they can just set us straight, like in one conversation. They're just like, they have such a more clear vision of devotional life that they can help us if we allow them to, if we take shelter of senior devotees and follow their guidance. Otherwise, we'll just be stuck in our minds, difficulties of our mind. That's the process of bhakti, is descending. So we have to make sure we're always connected with senior devotees on a personal level, not just theoretically, but personally taking guidance face to face, and also from the books from Srila Prabhupada especially too. But that personal guidance is really important, especially for new devotees, as you're saying. Anything else? Please forgive me if I said anything that is not correct. I'm just learning myself. I'm not a perfect devotee by any means, so I'm just trying to share a little bit of my understanding and in this verse. So please forgive me if I made any mistakes. Thank you for your attention. Attending Bhagavatam class. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Tai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari.